Ian, let's start with you. You found through deposition testimony that the timeline for when Gordon Fox began maneuvering to make a deal for 38 Studios to come with Rhode Island may have started earlier than previously known. Where did you find that information?
It's in a deposition by Bill Murphy, a Providence lawyer who was Gordon Fox's predecessor as Speaker of the House. Up to now, for most of this time, the thinking was that 38 Studios and Rhode Island took off when former Governor Don Carcheri went to a March 2010 fundraiser at the home in Massachusetts of Curt Schilling. But Bill Murphy said in a deposition that when he was Speaker in the fall of 2009, he was stepping into Gordon Fox's office at the State House to say goodnight to him, and Fox was meeting with tax credit broker Mike Corso, who is also a friend of Fox's, as well as Thomas Zaccanino, who emerged as a senior official with 38 Studios. There was also some questions brought out during depositions of whether Fox may have met with Zaccanino as early as July 2009. Fox mostly took the fifth, not answering questions during his deposition, so we don't know for sure, but this does move the timeline earlier on when Rodin's involvement with 38 Studios began.
And we should emphasize that there are literally thousands and thousands of pages of documents that were part of this release. So with the three people we have going over these documents, we haven't made it through every single one. But Scott McKay, you've been looking at the governors, Carcheri, who was in office as this deal was being formed, and Chafee, who was in office when the company went bankrupt. What did you find?
Well, it's interesting. Chafee looks like he was trying to walk this tightrope between micromanaging a deal that he knew, and he says in his deposition, he was vocally against from the start. Was part of his whole campaign theme was, you know, this is a risky deal, we shouldn't do it. Governor Carcheri shouldn't push it through in the last waning days of his administration.
But critics have accused Chafee of essentially torpedoing 38 Studios. Did any of that come out in his deposition?
No, actually, Chafee basically says, like too many others, perhaps, when we look at this, that he relied heavily on the staff of the old Economic Development Corporation to monitor the deal and keep him up to speed. He did have a two-hour meeting with Curt Schilling. He had a tour of the facility. He met with the top executives, and of course, they painted a very rosy picture. On Don Carcheri's side, basically, this looks to me like cheerleading. He was hoping that this would lead to economic development in Providence. He continuously talks about, you know, RISD partnering with RISD and the local colleges who are turning out these new graphic folks who want to make these kinds of games. Chafee does say at one point that he consulted with Jonathan Nelson of Providence Equity Partners, who I believe was a college classmate of his, who did warn him and tell him about how risky this business was.
Now, Ian, were there people represented either in the depositions or the court documents that have now been released who were raising concerns earlier? Is there any indication that anyone on the state side should have known better, should have gone against this deal?
Well, one person who really comes off well here, Elizabeth, is former state budget officer Rosemary Booth Gologly. She retired within the last year or two, but she was one of the most vocal voices in emails to other state officials raising questions about 38 Studios. Really, very specifically questioning whether appropriate due diligence had been performed on 38 Studios. Unfortunately, she was a very lonely voice. And although she was certainly well respected by former Governor Don Carcheri and many others during the course of her experience in state government, it seems like her concerns essentially went by the wayside. There were a couple of other scattered voices here or there, including an employee within the old Economic Development Corporation who had raised concerns about 38 Studios. But as Scott said, it really seems the posture of most people, including the vast majority of the board of the Economic Development Corporation and others in terms of 38 Studios, was one of cheerleading, kind of wishful thinking, some might say magical thinking, that 38 Studios would be an economic savior for Rhode Island when there were some very legitimate red flags to make reasonable people wonder if this company would ever be successful. It never got any support from the state of Massachusetts or from the venture capital community in Massachusetts, and certainly people should have seen those as red flags.
Even a smart executive, somebody who Rhode Islanders looked up to, is Al Varecchia, the longtime CEO of Hasbro, a very successful Rhode Island-based company, basically says he was the vice chair of the EDC board at that point, and he basically acknowledges in his deposition that he just relied on the staff and went along with it. And, you know, you almost think that this is more incompetence. Everybody in Rhode Island's been looking, where's the criminal behavior? Who failed at this? Well, you know, incompetence isn't criminal, and politicians don't get indicted for being stupid. They get charged for breaking the law. This looks to us, a lot of us, like a very sad episode in Rhode Island economic history. And what can happen when backroom statehouse dealing and kind of cheerleading merge together? These high-toned, as Ian points out, some of these high-toned folks have big backgrounds in finance. Both Kachuri and Varecchia, folks like that. Do you think either of them would have made this decision if it was their money? It seems to me like it's much easier to gamble with other people's money, the taxpayers in this point, rather than their own.
Now, what about then State Treasurer Frank Caprio? We know already that he initially was for the deal as he was running for governor, a race he eventually lost to Lincoln Chafee. He changed his tune and came out against the deal. But WPRI is reporting that he may have cut a deal of his own in this case. What's going on there?
Well, actually, what they're saying is it looks like that he had a deal with Barclays, somebody else who wanted a piece of the deal. We do know that he did not want Moody's to rate the deal while the campaign was on. But the problem is nobody's gotten any reaction yet from Caprio, and these, again, our depositions.
Well, Scott McKay and Ian Donis, there are thousands more pages of documents to review in the 38 Studios case, both the court filings and the other documents that the court has now unsealed. So we have our work cut out for us.
We sure do.
Indeed, a little bit of light reading.